Romans chapter 1. We'll start at verse 20. Today we're going to look at, this is entitled Homosexual Propaganda Refuted. And occasionally we like to do issues that are important for society and our culture. We try to be a salt and light to culture. As we all know, homosexuality has made great inroads in our culture. And so we want to try to stem the tide by speaking the truth. Start at verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their woman did exchange the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And so on and so forth. So our topic, homosexual propaganda, refuted. So we'll state what the propaganda is, what is a lie, and refute it. So number one, people who are against homosexuality are homophobic. Okay, this is very common, taught throughout culture. This idea that people who dislike homosexuality, this is the idea that they have a fear of homosexuality and homosexuals. Phobic just means fear. This myth is one of the greatest lies and propaganda tools of the pro-sodomite rights movement. And this word has been adopted by the mainstream media. It's used by the mainstream news channels. It's used by the Hollywood. It's used by the political left. It's used by universities and the courts. It's even used by many politicians. It's been completely accepted into our culture as true, as a reality. Now, virtually anyone who says anything against homosexuality or the homosexual cause, whether a raving hate monger or a Christian intellectual, is immediately labeled by sodomites of the press as homophobic. And then recently, there was an actor who called a homosexual colleague a faggot, and he was actually forced to go to counseling to deal with his anger and his, quote, homophobia, or he was going to lose his job. So it tells you how bad things are. It sounds like the Soviet Union, the re-education camps of the Soviet Union. While the word homophobic has been universally adopted by secular humanists all over the world, there is not a shred of biblical, scientific, or empirical evidence that a fear of homosexuals is behind opposition to their behavior and lifestyle. The opposition and hatred of their behavior is rooted in one distinct ethical reality. Homosexuality is immoral. It is a scandalous sin that is totally perverse, disgusting, gross, filthy, degrading, damning, and wicked. And if you want proof of that, Leviticus 18:22, and Leviticus, it's repeated virtually verbatim in Leviticus 20, verse 13. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. their blood is upon them. So the Bible explicitly teaches that homosexual behavior is an abomination. And it used the word twice. What does that word mean? What is an abomination? Well, the Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines abomination in this manner. Number one, extreme disgust and hatred, abhorrence, detestation, loathing. Number two, that which is abominable, anything hateful or shamefully vile. Well, this means that God Himself, the one who is infinitely pure and holy, the one who created the universe, views homosexual behavior as extremely disgusting, abhorrent, detestable, vile. God has a strong hatred of all homosexual behavior. So strong that homosexual acts merited the death penalty under biblical law. Now, homosexuals have arguments against these kind of passages. We'll deal with those a little later. But the Bible means exactly what it says. Homosexuality is disgusting, vile, perverse. God hates it. God hates homosexual behavior so much that He completely and utterly destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He rained fire and brimstone upon them and killed all the inhabitants. And that was the San Francisco of the ancient world. We can read about that in Genesis 19. God hates homosexual behavior so much that He explicitly says in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 6:10, homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you can't say, well, that's an Old Testament doctrine. It's repeated in the New Testament explicitly. What this means is that God promises in His infallible word that unrepentant homosexuals will be sent to hell. They will be sent to the lake of fire forever. And they're going to be sent there specifically for their behavior. Now, if God hates, abominates, detests, despises, and abhors homosexual behavior, then all Christians and all of God's rational creatures must also hate, detest, abominate, despise, and abhor such behavior as well. Right? Makes perfect sense. We're commanded to hate sin in the Scripture. In fact, if we do not hate such behavior, but rather allow it by our laws or promote it by our laws, which is what is happening all over the world, especially Western countries, and is even happening in the United States, then what we have done is we've set ourselves in direct opposition to God. Now, the position of the Bible explains why Western nations, especially America, or all the nations that used to hold to the Christian worldview, are full of people who believe that homosexuality is immoral and hate it. It's not a fear of homosexuals. We're not afraid of homosexuals. We're not afraid of homosexuality. Now, if it's 1 in the morning and your car breaks down on Castro Street in San Francisco and you're a young guy, 16, 17 years old, yeah, you may have a fear of homosexuals. But that's not what we're talking about here. But then this raises the question. Why is homosexuality condemned all throughout the world and hated by people who are not Christians at all? And who have not been influenced by the Word of God? Well, the reason for this is not homophobia either, but rather the teaching of nature itself, or what we call natural law. As Paul says, and I'll read this just once again, Romans 1:24-27. God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, they rejected God. They suppressed the true knowledge of God that they had. God gave them up to vile passions, for even the woman exchanged natural use for that which is against nature. That's lesbianism. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Okay, Paul says that lesbianism and homosexuality is against nature. It is unnatural. So irregardless of the specific teaching of the Word of God, you can disprove homosexuality and show that it's vile and disgusting from nature itself. Sexual relations between two women are against nature. Sexual relations between two men are unnatural. It's rather obvious. Two men cannot reproduce. Two women cannot reproduce. Two women do not have proper sexual organs for having cohabitation. Two men do not have the proper sexual organs for having cohabitation. Okay? It's an exit, not an entrance. It's against nature. It's obvious. But Western culture, in rejecting Christ and rejecting God, has been given over to complete blindness morally. Here's what John Murray says. The stress falls upon the unnatural character of the vice. And in that, as also in verse 27, consists the peculiar gravity of the abomination. The implication is that, however grievous, is fornication or adultery. The desecration involved in homosexuality is on a lower plane of degeneracy. It is unnatural and therefore evidences a perversion more basic. The great offense of homosexuality is the abandonment of the divinely constituted order in reference to sex. End of quote. It is completely, totally unnatural. And there's a reason that homosexuals have a much higher rate of venereal disease and die much younger. Because that type of sex leads to all sorts of diseases and is perverse. The average age for a homosexual to die is about 42 years old. If you take into account all the men dying of AIDS and so forth. Therefore, people who have not been propagandized and thoroughly perverted in their thinking by anti-Christian secular humanism have a natural aversion and hatred of homosexuality. They know that it is a disgusting, perverse, grotesque, filthy, sickening, vile act or behavior. So the Bible teaches that, and nature teaches that. Christians, Bible-believing Christians, know that God hates it. And hate it also. And even many unbelievers, because of natural law or nature, hate it. But it is not homophobia. That is a complete myth. There is absolutely no evidence to support the idea that people are afraid of homosexuality. It was propaganda made up by some homosexuals and has been bought by the left and the secular media. Number two. Conservative Christianity, or fundamentalism, leads directly to gay bashing. I have quotation marks around it. I don't like using the word gay. It was a nice word that's been ruined. They are not gay. They're perverts. It leads directly to gay bashing, hatred, and even the murder of homosexuals. This is a very common misconception. It's an outright lie, propagated by sodomites in the left in our nation to attempt to damage the reputation of conservative Christians and further the sodomite agenda. In particular, the attempt to pass so-called anti-hate legislation. And how that works, what anti-hate legislation means is if a Christian preacher preaches a sermon and says that sodomites are committing sin, he's arrested. Now, socialists and leftists and lesbians and Hollywood morons can ridicule Christ and Christianity all they want. They'll not be touched. But if you say a word against the sodomites or the lesbians, you'll be arrested. Now, does the fact that both God and his people hate homosexual behavior mean that Bible-believing Christians are in favor of gay bashing and the murder of sodomites? Does it mean that sincere Christians are in favor of going around insulting sodomites and threatening them verbally? Well, not at all. It doesn't mean that at all. The true Christian loves the homosexual by treating him in accordance with the law of God. 1 John 5:3, which does not allow personal vengeance or attacks on people. Christians are never allowed to throw rocks at people or punch them or slap them or do anything for them, even their enemies. We are to even love our enemies. And Jesus said, go the extra mile. If the Roman soldier demands that you take them, and these were hated by the Jews, by the way, Christ says, go 2 miles. No, there's no justification for the idea that Christians are going to go around killing homosexuals and beating them up and abusing them. Further, the Christian follows Jesus Christ and therefore never engages in slander, violence, hatred, and scorn toward homosexuals. Bible-believing Christians would even protect homosexuals from personal attack. If there was a gang of people and they're beating up a homosexual and they're going to kill him, and a Christian has a way to defend that man, let's say he's got a gun, and he can do so, he should defend him. In a Christian commonwealth, anyone who physically attacked a person simply for being a homosexual would be arrested and prosecuted in accordance with biblical law. And that's the absolute truth. When we analyze this question, it is important to separate facts from sodomite propaganda. When homosexuals speak about hatred and gay bashing in the context of conservative Christianity, we need to understand that sodomites make no distinction between a white, trash, angry hick spouting forth obscenities towards sodomites and a Bible-believing Christian who speaks the truth in love so that homosexuals will repent and believe in Christ. They make absolutely no distinction. And I'll never forget, it was the 1970s. I had not been a Christian for a long time. And one of my evangelistic buddies, we were a team of evangelists, and we stood in front of a university at Berkeley, and he read Romans chapter 1, the stuff I just read. You hate monger! You name it. They wanted to kill him. They would have killed him if they could. You have to understand, the left and the Sodomites and those people that support that agenda think the Bible is a book full of hate because they are blind and they don't understand what it teaches. They don't make any distinction between people who really are hating and abusing and Christians. And so our culture and society will not be handed over to the reason that Christians stand up and speak out against homosexuality, like I'm doing right now, is not because we take pleasure in attacking homosexuals. The purpose is we want to protect our culture, our society, from being handed over to complete antinomianism. Homosexuals want to shut the mouths of Christ preachers and use the coercion of the state to force people to either completely accept the homosexual lifestyle as ethical or as the moral equivalent to heterosexual marriage. That's the homosexual agenda. And Christians can never, for a moment, compromise with that agenda. We cannot take what God says is a disgusting, filthy abomination, worthy of death, and equate that with Christian marriage or heterosexual marriage, where Paul says the bed is undefiled. Sexual relations in marriage are lawful and good. Thus we must understand that hate speech legislation is an attempt by sodomites and lesbians to use the state to persecute biblical Christianity out of existence. That is the agenda. Believers must wake up and realize that the greatest threat at this moment in history against Bible-believing Christianity in the United States is not communism. It's not even Islam, as wicked and satanic as they are, but rather the homosexual transgendered movement and their allies on the left who want to make it illegal to preach that homosexuality is a sin and it is immoral. I mean, it's just a couple of weeks ago, there was a general, I think he was a general in the army, and all he said was is that homosexuality is immoral. And you'd think he murdered somebody. He was attacked vehemently. You give the guy credit, he did not apologize for his statement. He apologized for not emphasizing what the army wanted him to emphasize. Hate speech legislation, as framed by a sodomite-serving left, would essentially make it illegal to preach the gospel in the United States. I want you to understand that. You Christians, you evangelicals, you Reformed believers, all need to understand. It would make it illegal to preach the gospel in the United States. Because the gospel says, repent of your sins, and you can't preach repentance and faith in Christ without specifically identifying distinct sins. This is a sin. Repent, brother. Excuse me, repent, person, and become a brother. Now, while we're on the topic of love and hatred as it relates to homosexuals and lesbians, we need to ask one more important question. Who is the one who is truly loving the homosexual community? Ask yourself this. Is it the one who accepts the damnable lies that homosexuality is a wondrous, virtuous thing, it's not a sin, and it does not lead to hell? Is that person loving? The person who says that homosexuals don't need to repent, but should rather celebrate and glorify their lifestyle, is that person loving? That unrepentant homosexuals are accepted by God for what they are, and therefore they go directly to heaven? Because God accepts everyone the way they are? Is that loving? Or the person who tells homosexuals the truth and points them to Jesus Christ so they can repent and be saved from their sins? Well, I want you to know it's not the leftist. It's not the person who excuses homosexuality. That's not loving at all. You're driving toward a ravine, the bridge is out, and, oh, brother, man, the bridge is there. Go ahead. I wouldn't want to say anything that hurts your feelings. And they drive off the cliff and they're dead and they're killed. But the person who speaks the truth and warns them of the truth, that's true love. The leftist, feminist, Hollywood, narcissists, and media morons who continually advocate the pro-sodomite agenda are the ones who are truly guilty of hate speech. Because they are telling people who are heading straight to the abyss that everything is okay with their souls. You're fine. Go out and have a parade. Celebrate your sodomy. Celebrate your lesbianism. It's a wonderful lifestyle. You're all moral and God loves you all just the way you are. You don't need to repent. And then they die and they find out they're in hell. And they're going to wish they listened to the Christians. Obviously, the person who is willing to speak the truth and save a life is the one who truly cares, not the one who follows the world to be popular with the loony left, Hollywood, and the media. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. I've gone to campuses, and I have a tract I've written against homosexuality, and I pass it out, and I've practically had my head bashed in. It's actually by professors, not students. And the point is, sure, they may hate your guts, but you're telling them the truth. And their blood is not on your hands. But if you say to them, oh, your life sounds wonderful. God loves homosexuals just the way you are. You don't need to repent. Then their blood is on your hands. Number three. Another common myth that is being accepted more and more in our day is that homosexuals are born that way, and therefore there is nothing wrong with their behavior. This view, which, by the way, has absolutely no scientific support whatsoever or empirical support, is the accepted mainstream view in America nowadays. Regarding this view, and it's, by the way, it's been propagated by sodomites, it's another lie. Regarding this view, we have three things to say. First, studies of identical twins, where one is a homosexual, and keep in mind, identical twins, their genetics is about as close as they can get, where one is a homosexual and the other is a heterosexual, proves that homosexual behavior is not genetic, but is a learned behavior. If it was genetic, they'd both be homosexual or they'd both be heterosexual. You wouldn't have one being one and the other being another. So that totally disproves the lie that, you're just born that way. It's not your fault. It is rooted in our sinful nature, as are all other sins. Second, the unique way that homosexuals talk. You know, the imitation of... who wrote Truman Capote? They all sound like Truman Capote. Not all of them, but a lot of them. The way they talk, that unique way of talking. How about taking it apart? The style of their dress, their preference for Judy Garland and Barbara Streisand, their particular grooming habits, their love of amyl nitrate, their abuse of gerbils, their frequenting of bathhouses and bars, is all obviously a learned experience. Is that genetic? And then third, and this is the most important thing, the Bible explicitly teaches that homosexual behavior is sinful and immoral. Therefore, even if someone has homosexual desires or lusts, they are morally responsible not to act upon those desires. The homosexual movement has been very successful in propagating the lie that evil desires somehow excuse acting out those desires. That is one of the most insane things I've ever heard. Yet it's accepted by the mainstream media. If we follow the logic of the homosexual propaganda, then fornication is perfectly permissible and moral, because young men and women have a natural sexual desire for the opposite sex. And them, we can definitely prove they were born that way. But does that excuse fornication? Absolutely not. That is a ridiculous argument. Because of our sinful natures, married men also have lust toward women who are not their wives. If we follow the sodomite logic, adultery should be fully legalized and treated as a moral act, because men were simply acting out their desires. The point that men and women have unnatural lust toward the same sex is completely irrelevant in answering the question of the morality of homosexual behavior. Even if it could be proved that certain people were born with sexual desires for the same sex, with desires for the same sex, it would not excuse acting upon those desires, because God defines such behavior as evil, as wicked. If this argument was accepted, virtually all sin and evil could be excused, because we are all born of a sinful nature inherited from Adam. The Bible says that all men are born liars in Psalm 58:3. We come forth from the womb speaking lies, it says. Yet the Bible also says that lying is a sin, Exodus 20:16, Deuteronomy 5:20. And it says that liars will not enter the kingdom of God, in Revelation 21, verse 27. So the fact that people are born liars does not give them the excuse to go out and lie all they want, which is the homosexual argument. If some people are born with a proclivity toward theft, or homosexuality, or murder, bestiality, sadomasochism, mutilation, and so forth, that obviously does not somehow excuse their behavior. We're born with a sinful nature. We inherit it from Adam. It's the pollution of sin. That we have a moral obligation not to act upon our desires that contradict Scripture. The argument that orientation towards homosexuality somehow makes it acceptable to God could excuse all sorts of sinful behavior. Such an argument destroys personal responsibility. It renders God's law meaningless and salvation through Jesus Christ unnecessary. All men will be held responsible by God for every sinful thought, word, and deed, regardless of one's orientation. Blaming God for one's sinful behavior may make the homosexual feel better, but it will be very ineffective on the day of judgment, when all unrepentant homosexuals are cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Revelation 21:27. Furthermore, the Bible teaches that man cannot blame God for sinful behavior because it says God doesn't tempt man. Man is drawn away by his own lusts. James 1:13-15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So if you're going to blame your desires on your sin, there's no such thing as sin. Because that argument applies to everything. All sin begins with wrong desire, doesn't it? That's a stupid argument. Number four. Another very common myth spread by homosexual movement, which is also frequently taught by Christian modernists, is that since homosexuals are the way they are by nature, then A, it is impossible for them to repent, and B, it is wrong, misguided, and immoral to expect them to repent of their behavior. In fact, sodomite groups are particularly angry at Christian groups who try to convert homosexuals. They think it's just terrible. And we have to understand this is a very dangerous lie fostered by the sodomite movement. So how do we respond to this? Well, first, this is another assertion that is not only accompanied by no proof, but it's also contradicted by empirical evidence. There are many sodomites and lesbians who have converted to Christ, repented of their sinful lifestyle, got married, and raised up Christian children. Many people. There are even total pagans who tried heterosexuality and decided that the homosexual lifestyle was not for them. Remember, years ago there was the girlfriend of Ellen DeGeneres? Well, she's got married to a man. Now, she's committing adultery, but she's committing adultery with a man. She's given up on her lesbianism. So the idea that they can't repent, of course, they just say, oh, well, she truly wasn't a lesbian then. It's like saying, when you talk to a left-winger, they say, well, communism didn't work because it was never the true, pure form of communism. Yeah, right. Second, the inspired Word of God, this is always the most important thing. We can completely depend on Scripture at every point. The inspired Word of God explicitly says that homosexuals have repented and now follow Christ. After Paul lists a whole list of gross sins that he says exclude someone from the kingdom of God, he says this, 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. Past tense. They were homosexuals, but now they're not. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So there were people in the church at Corinth who used to be homosexuals. And now they're no longer homosexuals, but they're Christians at Corinth. And they've been sanctified and justified by Jesus Christ. Third, the whole idea that homosexuals cannot repent is secular, humanistic, atheistic nonsense. It assumes that God cannot change a sinner's heart. It presupposes that Christ's death on the cross and his victorious resurrection does not have the power or efficacy to redeem homosexuals from their sins. But Jesus has the power to save anyone, murderers, perverts, fornicators, thieves, and yes, even sodomites and lesbians from the guilt and power of sin. Christ has that power. The Apostle Paul was a murderer and persecutor of the church, and he was converted to Christ and became the greatest of apostles. The teachings that we have examined demonstrate that the homosexual, lesbian, transgendered movement is satanic to the core. Thoroughly, totally satanic. And it has more in common with a religious cult than a civil rights movement. It really does. They get angry if somebody leaves the sodomite movement. If somebody becomes a heterosexual, that angers them. They are not only full of hatred toward God, Jesus Christ, and Bible-believing Christians, but they go out of their way with their lies and propaganda to make sure homosexuals and lesbians remain enslaved in their sin. They celebrate their bondage to sin and Satan and attempt to make the most vile of lifestyles into a virtue. They have parades that are totally disgusting. Now, if you're a homosexual, deep down you know that your behavior is sinful and disgusting. You know that your sex is perverse and unnatural. But Jesus Christ offers you hope. Because if you admit your sins before God, you confess them and trust in Jesus Christ, His sacrificial death will remove the guilt and penalty of your sin. And His glorious resurrection will break the power of that sin in your life. And you can be a Christian. And you can leave that past behind. Of filthiness, of perversion, which is an abomination before God. Yes, there's hope for the homosexual. Flee to Christ. Look to Christ. And turn your back on that wicked, satanic movement. The sodomites' right movement. Number five. The homosexual movement for civil rights. These are all lies. The homosexual movement for civil rights is virtually identical to the African-American civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s. Okay, we hear this one often. You hear it all the time. Well, this argument is totally fallacious and is an insult to African-Americans. It's an insult to compare the two. African-Americans were kidnapped and forced into a totally unbiblical form of chattel slavery. And then they were systematically subjected to racism and murder and bigotry simply because of their skin color. That's all it was for. And I'll never forget when fifth grade, I read a book. It was called Black Like Me. Where a white guy, he was a journalist, he made himself look, remember that book? He made himself look black. Got his hair done to an afro and had his skin dyed black. And he went down south and he got treated like dirt. Simply because his skin got dark. Homosexuals are asking not for the right to exist. Okay, blacks just said, hey, follow the Constitution. Treat us the same as everybody else. That's all they wanted. Now, I realize that as the movement progressed, they got into socialism and all sorts of bad things and communism and all that stuff. But originally, it was basically, look, we just want to exist. We want to apply the Constitution to us, and we wanted to be treated fairly under the law. Homosexuals are not asking for the right to exist, but for the right to live a lifestyle of abominable perversion. That's what defines them. They're not defined by skin color. They're not defined by this or that. They're defined simply by sexual perversion. Homosexuals are asking the civil government to force, okay, that is coerce through the barrel of a gun and threats of jail, Christian citizens to accept their sexual perversions as moral and virtuous when they are not. That's their version of civil rights. That's their version of civil rights. African Americans were asking society to treat them as human beings. and give them the same treatment under the Constitution and the law as white people. That's all they wanted. Now, I realized later on, they got into socialism and welfare statism and all that stuff. And, of course, we know that Lyndon Baines Johnson and the Great Society, the welfare programs in the 1960s, did more to harm black families than the Ku Klux Klan did in the last 150 years. Yes, I realize that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the original goals. The African-American civil rights movement was rooted in black Christian churches in the South. All the original leaders were pastors or friends of pastors. Well, the sodomites' right movement is rooted in bathhouses and bars. It came into existence big time through the AIDS epidemic. So to compare the civil rights of African Americans to the sodomites' rights movement is like comparing apples and oranges. They're just not the same at all. One is saying, treat me like a human being, because that's what I really am, according to both the Word of God and according to the Constitution. And the other one is saying, you have to recognize my disgusting, filthy perversions as moral. And we will not. And we will go to jail before we recognize what they're doing as a moral, virtuous thing. It is not. It is an abomination before God. Number six. Homosexuals, keep in mind, these are of the homosexual agenda. Homosexuals in an explicitly Christian nation would have no rights whatsoever. That's what we're told. They'd be lined up and shot and so forth. That is actually not true whatsoever. According to the Bible, according to biblical law, the only time a homosexual gets himself in trouble is if he does homosexual acts and there are two or three witnesses. Homosexuals are then tried by the court and executed by the state. In the Christian nations, people are not allowed to go around shooting homosexuals and beating them up. They would be treated lawfully under the law. The effect of biblical law, which, by the way, was followed in Europe and Russia and the United States and Canada and Australia until very recently, they're all of them used to have laws against homosexuality. Homosexuality was a death penalty offense in New England under the Puritans. The effect of biblical law is to take homosexuals and drive the movement underground where it belongs. It belongs in the sewers with the rats and the excrement, because that's where the movement is viewed before God. But they does not allow people to beat up homosexuals and shoot them. It is actually the homosexual movement that seeks to destroy Christian culture. That's their agenda. They want to completely redefine the family to where a family... What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that a family is a man married a woman and they have children. If they can't have children, they can adopt children. That's a family. A family is not two men or two women or three men or a group of people just deciding to get together. That is not a family. They want to destroy Christian civilization. They want to destroy biblical law. They want to destroy the family. And they want to replace it with antinomianism and total chaos. They're the ones who want to persecute Christians out of existence. We just say, look, if you're a sex pervert, keep it to yourself. Don't push it on my children. Don't push it on society. That's what biblical law does. But they turn around and they demand that churches and Christians recognize their disgusting behavior as moral. It's not going to happen. Number seven. We hear this frequently. Well, Jesus takes everyone just the way they are. Therefore, Jesus loves homosexuals, and he accepts them into his church. Now, this is the propaganda of the so-called Christian homosexuals. You know, there are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are practicing homosexuals who go to church. And this is their argument. And there are people who are ordained ministers in the Protestant Episcopal Church and the Presbyterian Church in the United States of America, the United Methodist Church, and this is their argument. Oh, you're not loving. Christ loved everybody. And Christ loved us, and he's accepted us into his family, and we're part of the church. Well, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible teach that? Jesus said, unless you likewise perish, excuse me, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you believe in Christ, as he is revealed in the scriptures, if you believe in Christ crucified, that his blood washes away your sins, then you repent of your sins. And if you do not repent of your sins, the Bible teaches that you don't really believe in Christ. And if you're going to take that homosexual argument, you say, I happen to be a child molester. Or I happen to be, I like to go out and kill women. And I've killed 35 women and I'm going to keep doing it. Does Christ accept those people the way they are too? Of course not. God demands that all men everywhere repent. And it doesn't matter whether you're an adulterer, or a fornicator, or a liar, or a thief, or a homosexual, or a lesbian, or a murderer, or whatever you do. If you believe in Christ, repentance means to completely have a change of mind concerning your past life, admit it's wrong, put it away, and lead a new life. Now, you're not saved because you repent. You're not saved by your repentance. But you're not saved without it either. If you believe in Christ, you're saved solely by Christ. But once you believe in Christ, it's demonstrated, the fruit of it is that you repent of your sins. And if you're a sodomite or a lesbian, and you want to go to heaven, and you want to be a Christian, you want to participate in the Church of Christ, the flock of God, you've got to put away that wicked, sinful lifestyle forever. Be done with it. And if you have unnatural desires, if you have lust after the same sex, you've got to suppress it and not act upon it ever again. So we dispense with that lie. Here's another one. Number 8. Well, the laws, this is taught by Christian modernists and the sodomite movement. Well, the laws against homosexuality in the Bible are not really directed against homosexuality, but rather they're directed against ritual prostitution and pederasty. Pederasty is having sex with young boys. Well, what's wrong with this argument? Well, number one, it's totally arbitrary. It's not supported by the text of Scripture whatsoever. There's not a shred of evidence. If you look at the context of Leviticus 18 or Leviticus 20, you look at the context of Romans chapter 1 or 1 Corinthians 6, you look at the context of the Sodom and Gomorrah passages, you look at the context. There's nothing in there about pederasty, and there's nothing in there about ritual prostitution. That's just something they made up to basically excuse their sinful behavior. That's no different than the argument of Christian modernists that, well, the Bible, it allows fornication if you love each other. You ever heard that one? That's another one. These are excuses to continue in sin and not repent. That's all they are. That's all they are. There's not a shred of evidence. Now, certainly pederasty is wrong and ritual prostitution is condemned in Scripture. That's true. But Romans chapter 1 and Leviticus 18 are not talking about those things explicitly. They're talking explicitly about lesbianism and homosexuality. Utter nonsense. Totally arbitrary. Here's another one. We'll do this and we'll stop. I have a few more, but this one's number 9. Well, children raised in a good homosexual home are better off than children raised in a heterosexual home that have problems. Have you ever heard that one? Well, what's wrong with that? Why is that a lie? Why is that propaganda? Well, number one, it presupposes that homosexuality is moral, doesn't it? It presupposes that there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. If you presuppose that homosexuality is good, then of course you can say, well, yeah, children raised in a homosexual home where they're a nice, loving couple and they get along good and everything's running smoothly, it's better than being in a heterosexual home where they've got some problems. But that completely assumes what you're trying to set out to prove. If homosexuality is a disgusting perversion, an abomination in the sight of God, which the Bible says that it clearly is, then you cannot make that statement. Because what you're doing is, if you have a couple of lesbians, and they're raising a child, what are you teaching that child? You're setting an example of complete and utter hatred and rebellion against God and Jesus Christ before that child. So, it'd be better to be in a poor heterosexual home where you've got problems, by far, than to be raised in a home where the whole existence of that home is nothing but rebellion and hatred against God. Okay? They simply assume what they set out to prove. The Sodomites' rights movement have terrible arguments, but you have to understand their arguments are total lies, they're total propaganda, but they're being supported by the Hollywood left, they're being supported by the mainstream media, they're being supported by the universities and colleges and high schools and the public schools, they're being supported by the politicians, with the exception of some conservative Republicans and libertarians. Well, I can't even say libertarians. I don't think they're dependable on ethics at all. So what do we say? Christians need to stand up and start speaking the truth and standing up for the truth and refute these lies so that our nation would not degenerate to the point where we can't preach the gospel anymore. Because it's going to get that to that point in a generation or two if we don't start acting in accordance with Scripture and being a salt and light to culture. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we say these things because we care for our nation. We care for the state of the church. And we do care for homosexuals. We ask that many would hear this and flee from their immorality and look to Jesus Christ, crucified. And that they would bow the knee to Him as Lord, the resurrected Lord, and say, "Yes, Lord, I submit to Your word. I put away my wicked behavior. And now I serve You as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that You died for me and have washed away all my sins. And out of gratitude for that precious salvation, Lord, now I will follow You. And I will no longer hang out with my old friends and those who influence me in a bad direction, but I will now cling to Your church and hang out with godly Christians who can be a good influence upon me." We pray that this would come to pass, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.